Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, this morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start sharing off this morning, Sharon, do you want to share?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Hi, I'm Sharon and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
A very grateful alcoholic at that. My journey with alcoholism, I'm glad I know what I am today. I picked up a drink at a very young age and I drove drunk excessively and to a point of blackout pretty much from the beginning. Wasn't one of these alcoholics that, you know, just had a few and could stop. It was just all or nothing for me. we have a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that says one is not enough and 1,000 is too many, and that's true of my case. So we did it cross the line where things got completely unmanageable. I can't really tell you that, to be honest. I drank all through my pregnancies, all through my 20s, came into Alcoholics Anonymous just on 10 years ago now, and I was pretty broken. I had tried, Alcoholics Anonymous was basically my last port of call. I had tried giving up through, you know, various counsellors, doing alcohol programs, you know, abstaining from alcohol, hypnosis, you name it. I'd basically tried it all. And after a number of DICs, the loss of my marriage, almost at the point of losing my children, losing my job, I'd got caught. I was in quite a sort of high role within an organisation that I was with, and I got caught with DIC in the car after a party one night at work. And as if that hadn't stopped me, I also then got caught during the day. So I was starting to sort of drink little bits and pieces to keep myself topped up during the day. So I lost my job as a result of that. And yeah, things were pretty dire straits. So I came into the rooms, and yeah, I've stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous since then, although I haven't always remained sober. I've had periods of where I've got moments of sobriety up a year, 2 years, 5 years, and then fallen off. But it's the only place that I've been able to basically remain sober through the fellowship and through having a sponsor and doing the suggested steps and program. It has been a hard journey. It hasn't been easy for me. You know, I really can't. You know, you've got to put the action in. You've got to take the action. It's all it comes down to, really, at the end of the day. There's, you know, my last fall, I had been attending quite a lot of meetings. I was really, really overcommitted. What I was doing at work, in my personal life, and things were spiraling out of control. So I was sober, but the unmanageability of my life was just absolutely crazy. And yeah, and things just, you know, just because you're sober doesn't mean that, you know, things are always gonna go right if you're not taking the action that you need to keep things, you know, in line. And I'd basically lost my connection with my high power. I just stopped engaging in a lot of things, and it's been a really good wake-up call for me. So, you know, it's been back to basics of just doing one day at a time, you know, waking up in the morning and doing my readings, going to work, just taking 1 hour at a time. I'm not overcommitting myself at work. I'm doing my basic hours. I'm taking my lunch breaks and, you know, doing my meetings, doing service in AA is really important, and that's why I'm here today. You know, it's all part of service. If we want to keep it, we've got to give it away. And I've got a wonderful life today. I really can't complain about anything at all in my life. That, you know, I'm happy within myself. I've come back into myself again. I know who I am. I have a good marriage. I've got children that trust me. I'm in a position at work where my employers trust me. The people at work trust me, you know, and yeah, so I've got nothing to be ungrateful for, and I owe all that to the fellowship, because if it wasn't for AA, I would be dead. I am very, very convinced of that. That my last drink, I was very suicidal, and I'm in a place today where I'm not. Don't have all the money in the world and all the riches of the world, but my riches to me are my whānau, my friends, my husband, my children, and I'm grateful for absolutely everything, you know, my hands, my feet, and that's what's different for me today. So if you're looking for somewhere to come, give AA a go, come to AA, six meetings, just to look for the similarities, see if you identify with anything. But I know that I'm in the right place today, and I'm a very, very grateful alcoholic. So I hope you've got something, even something small, out of my sharing today. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on Planet FM 104.6, and this morning we have members of the fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Roddy, do you want to share?
Thanks, Stephen. Hi, everyone. My name's Roddy and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Roddy.
Really grateful to be here with you guys, and grateful to be sober, and how I wound up in this group with these group of people was that I drank for 15 years, and the last 14 of those years I also used other chemicals. I'm primarily an alcoholic, and I didn't know what an alcoholic was until I came here. You know, like the previous speaker talked about, you know, I've never been able to stop drinking after taking the first drink, you know. And when that happened for me, I remember the first time I had my first taste of alcohol, I was sitting on a family member's knee, and that made me feel different, you know. And but you see, before that, you know, like I believe I was doomed to be an alcoholic, because I had already displayed the actions of and traits of an alcoholic before taking the first drink, and also taking the other chemicals as well. So you see, it wasn't until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous via some people will term it as get out of jail free card, it was like I come to Alcoholics Anonymous via rehab, and at the rehab of that I went to, it's that's when I was very fortunate to see some other folks like myself trying to do something about the problem that they had, you know. And I didn't even know that I had a problem. It wasn't until I come to these group of people that they started to talk about myself in a lot of more ways than one. But I'm be sitting listening to them, and I'm thinking, no, I'm still different than you guys, you know. And so as I started coming here, listening to these folks, and they would talk about the this thing called a disease, what I have is a disease, and that when I didn't understand that until I had to listen a bit more, you know. And that what I know is that I have the phenomenon of craving coupled with the mental obsession for alcohol and in drugs, you know. And but there was a way out for me if I choose and if I want it. You know, say, and these folks said to me, they said, all you have to do, Rod, is not take the first drink and keep coming back. So I could do that, because, you know, and could do that for one day, because that's what they would say. They would say, if you can not take the first drink today and just keep coming back. So I did that. However, when I started doing that, then all these other things sort of come flooding back into me that what I'm talking about is that all these emotions start coming up, and I had no way of combating those emotions because they were totally alien to me, you see. And then to realize that I had to do some stuff to do with helping me deal with these things, because that's what I've come to understand for myself, is that Alcoholics Anonymous has a program that will help me live without drinking alcohol and taking, in my case, taking drugs one day at a time. And what I mean about that is that I found out that I was an angry man, full of heaps of, afraid of a lot of stuff, and very irresponsible, didn't want to take responsibility of anything I've ever done in my whole life. But then AA told me that I had to front up to these things if I'm to be a free man. you know. So if you're anything like me and you don't like being told anything, well, join the club. I'm one of those fellas, you know. And but then they kept on, these people kept on telling me, just keep coming back and just stay away from the first drink. And since when that for me, it was about, then I got to understand about what the previous speaker talked about, was that this program of recovery for the alcoholic. And then once I decided that I needed to do that, then things started to change for me, my environment and all that. But the biggest change for me was what was happening on the inside. No longer was I getting unhappy as much, getting angry as much, and being overwhelmed with a lot of stuff that kept me in darkness, really. Kept me in darkness. And so it was through these group of people that helped me start to know the full meaning about enjoying life for me, you know. And I've been very fortunate to be here for a few 24s, and I've got to meet all these people that have helped me be where I am today. In saying that, you know, like I still have times when I feel that the world is getting on top of me, and then they say what was passed on to me before here is that I needed to have a power greater than myself, and for me, the power greater than myself has to be God. It has to be God, because how else am I here able to be still walking above ground? Fortunately, to be walking above ground, because the disease of as I've seen it happen through my few 24s, has taken a lot of my friends away from me, you know. And you know, and I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is, but I think for myself, it must be coming to this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, practicing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous the best I can, because I tried to strive for spiritual progress. You know what I mean by that? I was trying to stay tuned in. I was talking to a friend, I said, stay tuned in or I'll be tuning out, you know. And then, and I don't want that, because I've experienced a lot more things of when I'm tuned in that have been much beneficial for me since I've been here in Alcoholics Anonymous. In saying that, I wish you all well, and I hope maybe one day we will meet each other and, yeah, carry the message to you. Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Roddy. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last speaker this morning is Paul. Do you want to share?
Thank you, Steve. I'm Paul. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Paul.
It's a real pleasure to be able to come here and share my experience, strength and hope. And I'll just start briefly a little bit about my drinking history. It kind of went along the lines of being youthful and exuberant as a 15-year-old, and finally having alcohol pass my lips, it gave me the feeling of feeling better than I was. It made me feel great, putting it that way. I just carried on drinking right throughout my youth and into my relationships and having children and working. And one of the common things in my life was alcohol. It went with everything I did, hand in hand. The socialising, the barbecues, the parties that we would have, everywhere. It was just alcohol. The friends I knew, what we'd do after work, the whole shebang. Drinking was in the mix, and it was enjoyable. I certainly liked it. It made me feel great. But as life progressed, and it certainly comes back with its drawbacks of bad decisions that came with having a head full of alcohol, drinking and driving, the things that you say, spending too much money, those things that affected my life and my journey and my travel, the way I interacted with my family, because alcohol became all too consuming, with obviously drinking it and thinking about it. And I suppose, to really cut a long story short, it really became a crocker when it was time to stop. Despair. I couldn't. I just couldn't stop drinking alcohol for all it's worth. It became my best friend, my crutch, to get any semblance of a thought that I could live a life without it. Was unimaginable. There's no way that could happen. If there was some way that I could straighten up how I was thinking, feeling on a daily basis and live a life without alcohol, please show me. It wasn't until I had my, and for some people it'd probably be something minor, but for me it was one too many drinking and driving offences, and at the age of 40, that's that puts it all on the line. That puts you losing your house, losing your family, losing your job, no income, for the sake of getting drunk. So I was going to lose the lot, and I did. It all went sideways. We found the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had a friend that decided that he was going to go because he was under the same circumstances that I was. And to make my case appear a little better to the courts, I ventured into the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, and nervous as you would be, and sat there and listened, and I came out of there quite enlightened. The things that were shared within those walls were very similar to what I was feeling, and what had happened to me in my life, and for people who were happy, people were getting on top of on living a reasonable existence, and I wanted that. I wanted my life to be better. And so I returned, and I kept on putting my bottom on a seat of Alcoholics Anonymous, and slowly but surely the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months, and no alcohol was passing my lips, and I started to feel better. I started to feel better within myself. I started to feel a sense of peace like I'd never felt before. And there was no way I was going to be able to or wanted to let that go. And to this day, I continue to go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings because my life has changed over the last 7 years tenfold. It is not like it used to be. I have a wonderful marriage. I have become self-employed. I don't stress and worry about money. I wear nice clothes. I drive a reasonable vehicle. I never run out of gas. But my life is fantastic. My expectations of myself have come down a lot. I am able to appreciate who I am. I enjoy looking out my bedroom window and seeing the sunshine and can appreciate all of the things that life has got to offer. There was points in my my alcoholic state that all I could do is moan about how bad life was treating me and how it was making me feel. But that's all gone out the window now that I've been able to get sober and be pretty happy with my lot in life. And it's not over. I'm here now. Been able to share this with our listeners, and I hope that there might be in part some stuff that that you're hearing now that might be able to affect you, and maybe plant a seed of hope, because sometimes that's all we've got to really go on is hope that things will get better. And this would be an opportunity that you might be able to go and ring somebody that is affiliated with the Alcoholics Anonymous, get your rear end on a seat, and listen to the sharing that's available, and it too might change your life. So thank you for listening, and over and out.
Thanks, Paul.
And this morning we've been talking about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous or the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I thought I'd just close with something out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In chapter 5 it talks about how it works, and this is how Alcoholics Anonymous works. And it goes, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates, they are not at fault, they seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. It's just in a reading out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, out of chapter 5, How It Works. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've listened this morning and identified with what our speaker's been talking about and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under the meetings list, you'll find a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.